This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org for more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Welcome in, Dark Myths fans, to an episode of The Best of Dark Myths. This is Brent from Hysteria 51 Podcast. We're coming to you with one of our favorite episodes that we've ever done, Number Stations. If you're not really familiar with Number Stations, they're those crazy Cold War era stations out in the middle of nowhere in Eastern Bloc countries and Asia. They just broadcast beeps or buzzes or nothing or static, but every once in a while they'll break in with something crazy like numbers or some sort of coded message or cipher. And it's not exactly our bread and butter that we do on Hysteria 51. A lot of times we're talking about ghosts and aliens and conspiracies, and this one's less of a conspiracy and more of a, well, this just really happens, but it's creepy as hell, and it was something that our fans asked for. We just released it recently, and we had a ton of fun doing this episode, so we hope you're going to like it, and if you do like it, don't forget, you can find us. Go to iTunes, go to Apple Podcasts, we're Hysteria 51. You can find us on Facebook.com/Hysteria51, or go on Facebook, search Hysteria Nation. That's our group discussion page. Lots of great stuff on there. If you forget any of those leaks, Hysteria51.com. They're all right there. Very simple, very easy. Now, without further ado, here is Number Stations.
The following is a fourth-hand production.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security...
Hey, you might need to start that again. You're getting some interference. Okay, what the hell was that?
No idea, but I bet I know someone who does. Conspiracy bot! What are you doing right now?
Just playing with my shortwave radio, and screwing with you guys. I'm listening to Number Stations, I like them. Robotic voices are calming.
Wait, you're talking about those old Cold War era transmitting stations that just send out random numbers and no one knows why?
Yeah, and there's still a bunch around today.
That sounds like a topic. Guess we have a new plan this week. All right, kids, grab your decryption keys and find the nearest Radio Shack, because we're diving into Number Stations next on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth. Truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that isn't in the spy game. But if we were, we'd probably be a lot less James Bond and a lot more Austin Powers. This is Hysteria 51.
Mr. Roboto is lying to us.
Tell me something I don't know.
I open-mouth kissed a horse once.
Said what?
That's something you don't know.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we're your hosts and agents in charge on this field op into the unexplained, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
Damn it, you are handsome.
I was just thinking the same.
We are sexy. We are sexy bitches, yeah.
So we called an audible this week and went with a topic on the guidance of C-Bot. Never a good idea, John.
Not at all.
Yeah, never a good idea if you want to keep making a crap podcast.
That other voice you've been hearing, like a chatbot with less personality, is the one and only Conspiracy Bot.
I got your personality right here.
I built C-Bot in my lab to research, edit, and produce this show. And as you can see from the opening, most of the time he just actively tries to ruin said show.
Yeah, yep.
That's pretty much his motive.
His MO, yeah.
When you're right, you're right. But my goal today was to record all of these Number Stations.
How can you record all of them? No one even knows for sure how many there are. New ones are constantly popping up, and obviously others are always shutting down.
Yeah, right?
72.
Excuse me?
What? Did you fart? There are 72 active numbers stations at this very moment. Check that, 71. Nepal number 3 just went down.
Wait, how is he, what?
Actually, he's actually probably right. When I originally was building him, I thought I was going to turn him into my own personal Uber, and that didn't work out. One thing led to another, and I didn't want to add another cellular data plan to summon him, so instead I juiced up an old shortwave radio and had it installed, and I don't know, I sort of forgot about it, to be honest.
Thank God you abandoned the Uber idea.
Pedestrians with walkers or canes are worth more points.
Sometimes he just illustrates our points for us. Seabot, the question is this. Why do you want to record all of them?
The lottery. If I can win the lottery, I can move out of this dump and get a real place. Be done with you meat sacks and start living my best life.
Wait, you think the numbers they read off are lottery numbers?
Yep. A guy on Reddit told me so. So just as soon as I finish recording, steal enough money from you to buy the tickets, and roll up to the gas station, I'll be on my way out of here. Smell you later.
Oh, God. All right, well,
yep.
In the meantime, Brent, let's get to the topic and talk to our fine listeners at home about what these number stations actually are.
This one actually, it's interesting. It's not so much a conspiracy, but man, people have asked for this like crazy. We've had
one of our most requested topics.
Absolutely. Right at the top. So, I mean, first and foremost, it's a radio station.
It's a radio station.
Ugh. Radio. Nothing worse than bad FM morning shows with tons of drops, campy jokes, gags, and useless characters.
And moving on, as I was saying, it's a radio station, but that's not that kind
not
of
that,
radio station.
Not that kind.
It's a shortwave radio station.
Right. And if you don't know a ton about the electromagnetic spectrum, like Brent over here didn't. Yeah, that's it. Shortwave doesn't mean it's a small, short, local signal. It actually refers to the wave's length. The ironic part is that shortwaves are actually really good for bouncing off the ionosphere, hence really good for transmitting really, really long distances. By the way, bouncing said signal off of the ionosphere has an awesome name. Skywave propagation.
Weird. That's the name of my Transformers cosplay cover band.
You know, it used to be able to bounce off the ionosphere. HARP now has transformed the ionosphere into just pure evil, so it doesn't work like that anymore.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you would have known, if you'd paid attention, read between the lines
on the HARP
when I was
episode?
Talking in the ARP episode.
Yeah. I did see the videos lately that if you take a snowball and light it with a lighter.
Yeah. It's not soot. It's just evil collecting just, on
yes,
it. Yeah.
Yes. we're all being damned straight to hell by the government when it snows.
And when they talked to the person doing it and said, well, this is easily explained by science. I don't trust science.
They've been talking to the Flat Earth Society again.
Unlike regular radio that you're thinking of, like when you're listening to Nick and Badger in the morning and you drive a little too far and lose the signal, these can be heard all over the world if you know where to look. That's why like old AM stations traveled way farther than like your normal FM that you have now.
Right,
and these ham radio people, you know, they have like illegal boosters and stuff, and they could talk to people all over the world if they know what they're doing.
Obviously, the other big difference is these radio stations aren't playing the hits of the 80s, 90s, and today.
Well, you might say they were pretty popular in the 80s.
That's true.
It's more
true.
The Cold War era, not the Corey Hart's Sunglasses at Night kind of 80s.
No, they typically do exactly what their name tells you they do. They read off numbers.
Yeah, it's widely assumed that the stations are used in spycraft, really, but no country or intelligence agency has ever, quote unquote, admitted to being the source, and their true function remains unknown. We'll get into more of the potential uses and origins in a little bit, but there's no shortage of A, these things, and B, people interested in them and recording them, and it's one of those things that people hear this and they just get hooked on it.
Yeah, and it's been going on for so long, and it's one of those mysteries that remains, while everyone thinks they've solved it, there's no conclusive proof, so it remains unsolved.
Yeah, and we'll dive into solving and unsolving these things later. It's a fascinating network how these things work.
Also worth pointing out that most of the stations used speech synthesis, so synthesized voices.
Yeah, like a computer voice
to vocalize the numbers.
So hot.
Lord.
I wondered.
Do we need to like roll him out of here?
I got him at Alexa and he just talks to it nonstop.
Don't talk shit about my girlfriend like that or I'll shank you.
Yeah. Although digital modes such as phase shift keying and frequency shift keying, ways they used to communicate, as well as Morse code transmissions, are not uncommon, meaning you can pick up on these things. Most stations have set time schedules or schedule patterns. However, other stations appear to broadcast at random times, almost like it's an emergency. I need to break in.
The other interesting thing is some of the stations that are on set patterns. There have been noted moments throughout history where an alleged, let's say, Russian station that is on a set pattern, every 24 hours it broadcasts or every whatever, 12 hours before some sort of huge political upheaval event, yes, will go off pattern.
They call it like the geopolitical synchronization with these things. Like, yeah, like,
wait, why is it no longer doing the thing it normally does?
And the vodka number station just started chirping out a bunch of numbers, and then 3 hours later, some yahoo with a political position gets killed somewhere.
Right,
and you go, oh, okay, okay.
Or the one
to see here, I'm sure.
The one that's normally just a series of beeping and numbers, you can actually hear rustling paper, screaming in the background, and then you read later that there are 30 dead Russians in Siberia.
Yeah, you're right.
Somebody did something wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. But there's a lot of history to these things. You know, these, like you kind of said, they go back a long time. Before we get into exactly how they work, let's talk about that history, though, John.
Yeah. So the first known use of number stations was during World War I, believe it or not. Possibly, the first listener was Archduke Anton of Austria. The numbers were transmitted in Morse code. Now, if you think about it, radios were only invented in like the 1890s.
Yeah, so it's still a fairly new
technology.
Yeah, not every house had one yet.
No, I mean, the first radio stations didn't even appear until like the 1910s, 1920s. Mm-hmm. That would make number stations among the first radio broadcasts in the history of the world.
Robot.
It was Morse code, not them, those robotic voices.
A robot can dream.
Yeah, and Eddie Murphy was not around back then.
It's true. Until they invent, you know, until time travel comes around.
Yeah. Have we carbon dated Eddie Murphy?
You know what? I haven't. No, I can't. I haven't.
Nor have I. Maybe he was exposed to a nuclear fallout.
So it would throw him off by like
10,000 years.
Yeah. We got to realize that we need to take care of this planet because we're going to be leaving it to the cockroaches and Eddie Murphy. You know? There's a lot of discussion online about these. Wikipedia user TotoCZ claims he or she has confirmed from the Czech Ministry of Interior that a Czech number station was in fact run by that country's Foreign Intelligence Service for broadcasting into foreign countries, quote unquote.
I get all of my political confirmations from Wikipedia users.
Yes, exactly, right? A long debate ensues, you know, gasp, who would have think, on the talk page as to where this source is valid enough to include on the main page. That's important because we all know Wikipedia is curated by users. And this guy's saying, well, I know because I heard it from these people. And
I have an email to prove it.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like, well, then include it. A lot of people aren't. We thought that was kind of important to put in here.
Well, because it would be the only actual instance.
If it's true, confirmed.
Of a government saying, yes, we used a number station.
Yeah, but the consensus is that the email correspondence posted on someone's blog doesn't meet Wikipedia's standards of reliability, which means almost every...
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everything that we talk about on this show doesn't meet Wikipedia's standards of reliability because it was an email of a photograph with bogus written over top of it and a picture of a Nazi, you know, high-fiving an alien. We're going to travel back to the magical year of 1998. The FBI cracked at least one number station, and the Bureau actually arrested several suspected Cuban spies known as the WASP Network.
It just sounds like a cabal of bad guys from a various 80s cartoon.
Yo, I'm Stinger. This is my friend Hornet. You know, like they have like some terrible name. Hornet takes off his glasses slowly. Oh, yeah.
We drive the B-mobile.
Yeah.
Like, actually, that's not as imposing, I suppose.
No. Yellow jacket. Anyway, during their arrest, they discovered a decryption program that corresponded with the number station known as...
I'm Mud Dauber. No.
A little late to the game, but that one works too. Atención. Each broadcast began with the Spanish word for attention. So they thought they'd broke it, and then they found the decryption machine. So they're like, yeah, we were on the right track. Here's actually a sample of it.
Atención. Siete, ocho, tres, cinco.
So the United States government's evidence include the following three examples of decoded attention messages. What were they, John?
The first one that they say they decoded said, prioritize and continue to strengthen friendship with Joe and Dennis.
Which is really like something I would send to my wife, like, hey, we met those people. Be nice to them. Let's see if we can hang out with them again. Nothing's too nefarious right now.
So be nice to the neighbors?
Yeah. Well, I say arrest them, but let's see if we can get a little further.
It was actually Joe Biden and Dennis Hassert.
Yeah.
The second one, under no circumstances should agents German nor Castor fly with BTTR or another organization on days 24, 25, 26, and 27. We should note that BTTR is the Anti-Castro Airborne Group, Brothers to the Rescue.
Man, Anti-Castro. What was wrong with Castro? That was a joke. You looked at me.
No. He's still, you say was. He's still alive.
Well, yeah. And he will be forever. Everyone knows.
Correct. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And the third one, congratulate all the female comrades for International Day of the Woman, which was probably a simple greeting for International Women's Day.
I'm looking at these things and like they don't seem to. Hey, guys, say hi to these guys. Hey. Happy to be a woman, congratulate you. Well, that was the tipping stone there, and where they're like, who respects women?
I mean, come on. And the other one, it was like literally telling them which seat to sit in.
Yeah.
Hey, don't sit next to those people.
I asked for a dry martini. You call this a dry martini? Don't fly with them.
Yeah, I mean, this now, isn't so bad.
Granted, I'm sure when they went in for the arrest, there was a lot of more nefarious stuff. But
yeah, they probably didn't release the one that says kill the president.
Just on paper, that doesn't seem so bad. The thing about these, and you heard, and when we listen to these number stations, for me, you can't help feeling eerie. Like, they just seem so damn spooky. Like, when you hear, like, beep, 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 and then all of a sudden it breaks in, like, atención, or whatever, you know, 2:27:19.
What is it about things like that are so spooky?
There's nothing outwardly scary, per se, of what is happening.
Have you ever been, it really doesn't happen anymore, but when you were younger and stations would go off the air. Imagine, right, you're in your living room, your parents aren't home, okay? It's midnight.
This concludes our broadcasting day.
And they play the song, and then it goes,
yep.
And you're in a dark living room.
And it wakes you up, yeah.
And that was creepy.
Yeah, well,
what is it about, like, these...
This is how I die.
Right, exactly. What is it about these, like, electronic messages when you're by yourself that are, like... If that was just a song, a normal song playing...
If you're ever by yourself and you don't want to feel alone, just throw that test pattern on. You'll feel like someone's there with you. That's the way it works.
Not the right person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you had just thrown on the radio, you wouldn't feel creeped out at all.
No.
Like, what is it about these... a number station is much different than what I just described, but they both have the same effect on you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something about this cold, lifeless electronic tones and things like that. Like, it's unsettling, kind of. I don't know.
You know what I think it is? We all saw Superman 4.
And Quest for Peace?
And we all know how the electronics can take over the body.
Was that four or three?
Or was that three?
I think it might have been three. I don't remember. I remember when the guy becomes the that was three, I think, when he becomes the robot. Yeah. It just seems like
Richard Pryor was somehow involved.
That's three, yeah. This is when they were going to steal the money from the banks and crap. Yeah. So then we go to 2001. Anna Belen Montes, I don't know exactly how to say it, but a senior U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency analyst, was arrested and charged with espionage. Now, the federal prosecutors allege that Montes was able to communicate with Cuban Intelligence Directorate through encoded messages with instructions being received through encrypted shortwave transmissions from Cuba. So their own number station. Then we go to 2006. Carlos Alvarez and his wife, Elsa, were arrested and charged with espionage. The U.S. District Court in Florida stated that defendants would receive assignments via a number station. And then in 2009, June, the United States similarly charged Walter Kendall Myers with conspiracy to spy for Cuba and receiving and decoding messages broadcast from a number station operated by the Cuban Intelligence Directorate to further that conspiracy. Man, it's just
crazy. Cuban spies just bad at it?
Yeah.
I mean, because we know other countries were doing it.
I know, but like we just kept like, what are they using? Like
they're just all using old I Love Lucy episodes as the cipher.
Yeah, right? Like something really
How do you think we should how do you think we should decipher this one? And all they do is take the words to Cuban Pete and lay it over. My name is Cuban Pete.
I've been on a rumba beat. Yeah. Then, not to be outdone by Cuba, though, of course, it's been reported the United States has used number stations to communicate encoded information to people all over the world.
Never. Never. We would not participate. We don't spy.
That's right. I mean, everyone knows.
And
if there is a country
is
that's on the up and up, it's the United States of America.
Everything we do is out in the open. I don't believe this for a second.
He's done awful things to people, and he'll do awful things to you.
Probably the most relevant moment in the history of number stations comes November 9th, 2010. What happened, John?
Treyarch released Call of Duty Black Ops and featured a number station in one of the cutscenes in the intro. C-Bot?
Ascension. 7. 15. 1.
John's a huge Call of Duty fan. I get sick playing it. I get motion sickness. I'm that guy.
Yeah, but don't you say you can watch other people play?
No, actually, I can't. I actually feel better if I'm playing, but if I'm watching other or there's like a split screen, it makes me sick.
Oh, okay. That I just wanted to point that out because they actually had number stations in the game.
Oh, of course.
Black Ops number one is the best Call of Duty ever.
Right.
Like the meme, tell me I'm wrong or prove I'm, what is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, change my mind.
Change my mind, yes, yeah, change my mind.
So secret government messages and video games aside, which we all know, they're evil and they've used them, you know, Polybius, you know, so.
Right, and now Call of Duty.
Let's get into how they work. Give us a rundown, John, of how these things work.
Well, first and foremost, there's some sort of sound that's repeated numerous times, and that's kind of a calling card saying, hey, number one, we're about to give you a message.
Number two, I'm still broadcasting. Nothing to see here, but we're still online.
Right. Yes, we are still an active station.
Yeah.
And so here comes the message soon, so get ready.
So what I was saying is a lot of times it'll be like for hours, days, months, beep, beep.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll be like you said, then there's that telltale sign, be it Yosemite Sam, which we'll get into, or whatever,
sure.
or a song. A lot of them are a song, and that's like, here we go, get ready.
But they repeat it numerous times that it gives them time to set up and like get a pen and paper to write it down. Now, oftentimes, as you mentioned, it's a few bars from a tune or a song repeated over and over, but not always. For instance, you mentioned Yosemite Sam. There was a very famous one. It's actually called the Yosemite Sam transmission. Here's a clip. They even made a cartoon character creepy.
Well, I mean, there's a few that are creepy. He kills people. Pepe Le Pew's a rapist. I mean, they were doing okay on their own.
Good point. If you couldn't tell, that's Yosemite Sam saying, "Varmint, I'm gonna blow you to smithereens."
Oh, wow. Thanks, John, for that.
You're welcome. It is hard to make out, though.
Yeah,
what he's saying. The cool part of this clip is it's preceded by that little burst you heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a data burst.
Yeah.
According to the internet, which has never been wrong, has not been deciphered. It's worth pointing out that the military often use bursts like this.
So they use these bursts, and what they'll do is it's compressed data, in other words. And it is compressed in some way to where, you know, you, me, and Joe Schmo doesn't know what it is. But if you know how to uncompress it, then that could have been a whole lot of data in one
short. I don't know why they haven't called me. I know. WinZip. You run it through a WinZip, and it'll... Yeah, uncompressed, done.
That's true.
Ah, man,
I use 7-zip, or is that what it is?
I don't even
7.7z. That's the newer. It'll do WinZip also, and other forms of zipping.
I don't know.
That's true. More typical number stations.
When my computer's on the fritz, I call you. I'm like, you're like, what's wrong? I'm like, it doesn't turn on. You give me a little bit more than that. I push the button and it doesn't turn on.
Oh, okay. Here we go. They get their name for a reason, these number stations, because most do a series of seemingly random numbers. And these numbers are on their own are meaningless. You need a way to decode them. They're ciphers.
We love ciphers on this show.
It's like a bad penny, man. Ciphers, Nazis, and reptilians. Can't help it.
We can't
get away from them.
It brings up memories of the Somerton Man.
Yeah. Like, obviously, spy game, spycraft.
Makes
spy
me
shit.
Wonder, perhaps, those numbers that were written on the book they found, maybe the Somerton Man was listening to a number station.
To a number station. Yeah. That's something we didn't even think about.
We didn't even think
time.
About
yeah.
that. Case closed, solved. Go back and listen to that episode, then come back. We'll wait.
So it's widely suspected that the intended listeners of number stations use a one-time pad method of decoding. So it switches every time. And considered one of the only unbreakable codes, one-time pad encrypts a message with a simple letter replacement cipher, but the cipher changes with every message. And the recipient has a list of ciphers, each corresponding to a single message. And without the list, the ever-changing cipher is same as impossible. Because
impossible to decode. Yeah.
Like, I guess with enough time and enough computers, you could run every possible thing and come to it, but it's a needle in a haystack.
Enough time with current computing technology would be hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
Quantum computing technology, however, they say that indecipherable ciphers could be done in minutes.
Which is something that we're coming up on within the next few decades.
You know, Google has a quantum computer. Mm-hmm. It's not working very well.
But realistically,
you know what they say the hardest thing about quantum computers is? It's not
getting
creative.
Them to not kill their creators?
No, that's CBOT.
Oh, okay.
No, they say that the hardest part about quantum computers is isn't actually developing the technology. It's writing software for them. Now, I am not a computer expert, as was just evidenced by the conversation we had. But the way that quantum computers work, I'm not even going to try to get into it. But the way you write software, it's very hard to write software for all possibilities.
Well, that's the way we have now.
That's the way that quantum computers work. It considers all possibilities at once, essentially. And for lack of a better term, and writing software to work inside that environment is very, very difficult. And that's why places like Google still can't figure it out very well.
See, the thing is, you start with like a normal, you know, what you would use for software, and then you have to do what's called a quantum leap.
Oh,
yeah. And that's how you get there.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Is the name of the computer Ziggy?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got all this information by Wikipedia user Sam Beckett.
Ah, perfect.
The thing is, the main reason this is that they've basically never been broke. We mentioned like the Atencion example earlier. But the way that was only broken after the FBI found the key. Hell, even the Enigma machine used by the Germans, we broke that eventually.
9999999
Yeah, so like because that was reused. The Enigma machine, it was
they got lazy.
Yeah. And we figured it out. These, they change every time. Like you said, it's a one and done, throw it away. It's really crazy. There's this channel called Dark Five on YouTube. I don't know if you ever watch it, and it's just a list of five things. There's no talking. They just throw words, and it'll be like, one of them was like top five spookiest number stations. And when you go on there, they'll play clips of them, and it's always to like this eerie, spooky background noise. And so if you go on there and watch them, they make these creepy things even creepier.
This is the kind of thing that Brent goes to sleep to.
Oh, all the time. I love Dark Five. Like, they're 5 minute long videos of top five creepiest children to ever live, and it's stories and shit like that. And yeah. And then I try to like wake my wife up, baby, I was just watching this thing. She's like, leave me alone. I don't want to know. I have bad nightmares when you tell me the shit. It's like, don't tell me that. As long as you don't lose your pad and the quote unquote bad guy, good guy, whoever finds it. It's a pretty surefire way to be able to get information to and from people. And case in point, the massive amounts of them that have been used and still are used around the world. It's crazy to me because email gets hacked and binders and crap get found and thumb drives get found. But
trapper keepers.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. Lamborghini on the front. That's the good one.
Yeah, that was always the good one. You make a good point when you say how many there are. The evidence for anything in life working is how much of it there is,
right?
So whenever you see one advertiser do something, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden 10 advertisers are doing it and 20 it's obviously working. When people start emulating and copying and doing it over and over, and also sustainability, when it lasts for a long time and it continues to be done.
And it's cheap as shit to do this too for a government. But yeah.
Well, it's like speaker technology.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker technology, for the most part, hasn't changed in 50 years.
Yeah.
And the reason it hasn't changed, because it really works really well.
Well, look at amp technology. You know, it's funny. Like amplifier technology, they made it, then they changed it, and they go, oh shit. The more smaller it gets, the worse it sounds. Now we're back to 1950s technology, which costs an arm and a leg. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it's funny how some things grow with leaps and bounds and other things you're like, yeah, we're just kind of there.
Yeah.
You know, and this works. If it's working, why change it?
You know what they say, Brent? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right.
Unless it's CBOT.
Then just break them and don't fix it.
Yeah.
What the deuce?
Yeah, don't worry about it. We're joking.
We're joking. Yeah. We kid.
So that's what they are and how they work, kind of. But when we come back, we're going to get into examples of some of the most famous number stations. That's one of my
famous.
One of my favorite things is these crazy stations out there. And
which is funny to say. It's funny to say the word famous when they're supposed to be secret.
But yeah, exactly. And talk about their true purpose. All that after the break on more Hysteria 51. Start. Just random bullshit
from him.
Yeah. Nation, you know I love radio dramas and creepypastas and stories. And if you guys are on our Patreon page, every week I release an old retro radio drama for everyone to listen to. And we found a show that we absolutely love. And I wanted to play you a promo for it and let you check it out. But it is called Weird Darkness. And if you guys...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Love ghost stories, both fiction and nonfiction, paranormal, supernatural, dark, creepy pastas, anything like that. This is the show for you. So make sure you guys check out Weird Darkness.
Bolt your doors, lock your windows, turn off your lights, and come with me
into the Weird Darkness. I'm Darren Marlar, the creator and host of Weird Darkness, bringing you true stories of the paranormal, supernatural, unsolved, and unexplained. Get the podcast at WeirdDarkness.com or search for Weird Darkness in your favorite podcast app.
Prepare to confiscate the human's possessions. Possessions secured. Prepare the probe.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a hot second. No need for a probe, man. Why are you doing this anyway?
To learn from your kind. And to obtain your container of treasures.
Container of treasures? Oh, you mean my cryptid crate?
Yes, the cryptid crate you possess. We desire it. We have discovered it to be populated with many objects we find most incredible.
Correct. The objects in this container cannot be produced on our home planet.
Well, you don't have to abduct people to get your own cryptid crate.
Elaborate.
Just go to cryptidcrate.com and sign up. On the first of each month, a new box filled with amazing cryptozoology-themed items will come to your mailbox, or spaceship.
Allow us to show appreciation to you, human, for this invaluable information.
Yeah, sure thing. Does this mean you're going to take me back to Earth?
Not exactly.
That was a numbers right there.
That was your Morse code?
Yeah, let's see if anyone can get it. Go fuck yourselves. God damn it, I give it away every time. I'm bad at mystery.
You're bad at a lot of things.
That was go fuck you two, not our listeners. You and Seabot can go fuck yourselves.
What?
Everyone knows what? I don't like you.
That checks out.
This. How did we get off to such a bad start so quickly? What happened during the break? Did you have like a bad burrito?
I blame it on you coming in with those breakfast churro things that you brought and didn't. And not
it's a 7-Eleven taquito, and they're delicious.
This time he brought them and he had them because they didn't sneeze on them. We stopped by this 7-Eleven a couple weeks ago. The guy opens up the bag, puts food in there, and sneezes.
No. Dude, we're going to tell the story. Let's tell the story the right way. The man, I say, hey, I want to grab a couple taquitos. Oftentimes we're running late when we're going to be doing the show, and I just need to grab something just to have something in my stomach. And I grab two taquitos. The man opens the bag. Says, excuse me, I have to sneeze.
That's right.
Turns his head, and you know, natural reflex is to sneeze into his hand. His hand has my open bag in it, sans taquitos. The taquitos aren't in there yet. Sneezes directly into the bag. So the snot and phlegm and refuse from his sneeze is directly in the bag.
At 7-Eleven, they call that secret sauce.
And then he turns back to me and goes, okay, which one do you want? As in, he's going to put it directly into that bag.
Meanwhile, Joe Peck is behind you. You're like, I'm good.
I'm thanks. Good.
He sets that down. Joe Peck's like, nah, I'm not. Now, granted, he does grab a new bag, and Joe's like, oh, it doesn't bother me, man. I don't give a shit. He used tongs.
I was angry that day.
Oh, well.
But I'll tell you this. If you ever go, it's not a taquito, but it's right next to him. The Buffalo Chicken Roller.
The roller's okay. It's
pretty damn delicious.
A little spice to it in a good way. I like it.
Nation, we are back, and I hope you enjoyed our 7-Eleven story.
And I just want you all to know, 7, 26, 53, 142, 9. You'll get it.
How is that 153?
You don't know. I mean, maybe. Try to figure it out.
On a 16 number system.
No, mine goes up to 406.
Oh, good.
It's very advanced.
I'm sorry for the last 3 minutes or so. If you want to go ahead and go back in time and fast forward through that.
Go back in time. Yeah.
But we are back, and we want to give you some examples of some of the more famous number stations.
Other than what I just gave them.
Okay. The first one might be the most famous.
And it also sounds like one of the Amtrak trains that comes out of Chicago.
Yeah.
The Lincolnshire Poacher.
The Lincolnshire.
I ride the city of New Orleans all the time. I ride, you know, the Lincoln Express.
Or the least threatening serial killer ever. who are you?
I'm the Lincolnshire poacher.
Wait, am I supposed to be intimidated by that?
But then he realized he poaches his victims, and it sounds a little bit not like you would poach an egg. You're like, right. Oh, maybe it is. Maybe it is kind of bad.
Yeah, but it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
No, just wait there in the water. It's starting to get warm. No, you really just need to wait there.
So they actually heard a clip of this CBOT played in the intro.
Yeah. So the station gained its commonly known name from the English folk song that starts the message. The folk song is actually called the Lincolnshire Poacher. That's the interval signal is what they call mm-hmm. it. It consisted of an electronically synthesized English-accented female voice.
Yummy.
Oh, Lord. Reading groups of five numbers. The final number of each group was always spoken at a higher pitch.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like they're asking a question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yeah. Attention to detail, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Because that could be like, they're definitely letting you know that that's the end of the group.
Yeah. Like stop. Like, if you get a telegram, you know, like, I need money. Stop.
Right.
You know.
In jail. Stop.
Yeah. So the precise date that the Lincolnshire Poacher began broadcasting is unknown. However, it's estimated that the broadcast started around early to mid-1970s. That's when people started really noticing, taking notice of these things. Because when you live in random areas and you're a couple things happen. First, you scan the radio stations. And number two, a lot of people have shortwave radios and ham radios. And you're out there listening for things. And all of a sudden, there's this thing that just repeats all the time. You take note. And a lot of times in, I don't take this the wrong way, but some of these areas are not the most productive in the world. You know, they don't have a lot of amenities. And so a shortwave radio might be one of the only things you have.
You're saying it the wrong way. They're not the most exciting.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to pass the time.
Exactly.
It's that or watch Paw beat Ma some more.
Right. So the amateur enthusiasts have traced the location of the Lincolnshire Poacher's signal to the Royal Air Force Akrotiri, a Royal Air Force base located in the Mediterranean island of Cyprus. So the station is believed to have been operated by MI6, British intelligence, and maintained by the Royal Air Force members that occupy that base. So I guess, you know, It drops the veil a little bit on
obviously
that.
The British government never came out and said anything about this. There were amateur radio folks who used
shortwave to triangulate
the basic area, and they believe it was coming from this Air Force base. It is worth pointing out that's not an exact science.
No.
So it could have been 50 miles from there, and they wouldn't have...
Yeah, but it's a pretty good... It's pretty good.
They're like, ooh. An Air Force base, it's there.
So in looking this up, they said that you can triangulate those things.
It's not like find my iPhone.
You can find those things within feet, like a few feet, they said, like if you have good equipment.
I don't think it was that exact.
I mean, I'm just saying what I found on
Cyprus. That's definitive.
They said that you can triangulate a lot of these transmissions and stuff to a pretty close area. Regardless, 2008, July, it stopped. And CBOT, let's hit us with another clip of that.
Oh, man, that song.
Not to be outdone, though, we got Swedish Rhapsody.
If that song from the Lincolnshire Poacher is the creepiest song or the creepiest beginning, mm-hmm. Swedish Rhapsody is definitively the creepiest than voice.
Yeah, right. Among number station enthusiasts, the Swedish Rhapsody number station is one of the most well-known and probably, like you said, the creepiest to listen to. And it broadcasts from Poland since the 70s, and the transmission included a music box version of Swedish Rhapsody No. 1 by Hugo Alvin.
Alfvén,
followed by a child or female voice reading off numbers in German, punctuated by the word Achtung.
Achtung!
Achtung, baby! Believed to be of Polish or East German intelligence.
The Stasi.
Yeah. The original transmission ceased broadcasting in 1997, but continued in different variations until 2007. And here's a clip of that.
Five, four, three, two,
So that voice, yeah, it is.
Have fun sleeping tonight.
I told you, you watch these things, you listen to these things, and it's probably synthesized. You know, if it was a real person, they figure, if I was reading on this one, they said if it was a person reading it, they synthesize it. Could even been a man. No, yeah, it's just, it gives you kind of chills.
Either that or you're the Polish guy who was originally put in charge of the station. You're sitting there with your family and they're like, you need a young female voice. You've got a daughter. So he literally had to sit there and make his daughter every day.
Yeah, right.
All right, honey, read these numbers. Daddy, I want to go out inside and play. No, okay. After 7 hours of reading these numbers, you can.
Yeah. The other thing, I would go as far as to say this one is the one that I heard of first, the buzzer, UVB 76.
Oh, yeah, UVB 76.
It's like I said, the buzzer, it's been broadcasting since the 70s and still active.
Yeah, you can, there are links on the internet that you can go listen to it right now.
Yep.
Obviously, it's not always broadcasting.
Right, right.
But
it consists of repeated buzzing noise, and every few years, the buzzing is erupted. Let me say that again. Every few years, the buzzing is interrupted by a Russian voice reading off a series of names and numbers. And the buzzing noise seems to be generated manually, and occasionally telephone conversations and banging noises in the background can be heard.
We need to do a little research and see if the Russian voice reading off the series of names and numbers happened recently when that guy in the UK was assassinated, was poisoned.
Right? The crazy thing about this one is, and what they're saying, it's almost like there's a mic keyed on a desk and there's a box next to it playing this buzzing sound. Because every once in a while, Yuri's on smoke break and you can hear him talking with his buddies and stuff faintly in the background. Like it's like.
And then sometimes things get kind of crazy in the office and you can hear like people yelling in the background. They're like, oh. Bad things are happening.
Yeah, exactly. And these things, you can find, when this thing sparks up, people record it and put it out there.
It's hard to find examples of a normal day on UVB 76 on YouTube, or just anywhere that you would find examples of this. All you find are examples of the weird days.
Yeah. And due to, you know, people finding out and the popularity online, UVB 76 moves its transmission location sometime in 2010, they did. And two groups of urban explorers traveled to remote Russian town of Povarovo in search of military.
That was actually pretty good.
I think I got that one. Searching for a military bunker that the signal had originated from for over 30 years, but the military outpost had been abandoned.
Hey, quick question. What do we have to do to be labeled urban explorers?
I'll tell you, because I love the urban explorer YouTube channels. Just go investigate places you're not supposed to be and film it.
So can we like go the abandoned warehouse a mile from here? If we just go kind of kick in a fence, are we urban explorers?
Yeah, it's a real, real classy way of saying
breaking an entry.
Yeah. I like to investigate, quote unquote.
Minor felons.
RNK All Day is one of the stations or the channels I like on YouTube, and he just goes to crazy places. It's always weird when they go in like these old hospitals or something. They'll in the basement, it'll be like a server room or something, and it's still on. And you're like, I wonder why. You know what I mean? Like, is it just so happened, or like, is there something nefarious about that?
Bitcoin mining.
Right. Who knows?
You know how else you'd be an urban explorer? All those things you see on the internet of the pictures of malls that haven't been populated for 30 years.
Right. So we told you these guys, they look for this place.
Oh, look, a Babbage's.
They find these abandoned military outposts. They did find a book that contained a log of messages that allegedly confirmed that UVB 76 was run by the military. By the Russian military.
I think that's
what they want you to think.
Who? I mean, I usually agree that that's what they want you to think, but specifically who in this case?
# Pizzagate.
Perfect.
He's
perfect.
Just saying words he's heard us say.
He literally
like your kid. Yeah. Yeah. Dada, Pizzagate, Hitler, stop it. Stop it.
We're in public.
Let's listen to a clip of that. So fun. That's the word I'm looking for. Fun. Yeah. Just like I said, that buzzer, like I said, it's being broadcast. There's a keyed mic there and it's just going to town all the time.
Little known fact on Russian television, that's actually 30 minutes of that is a sitcom.
Are you ready for the buzzer, comrades? Yay! Then we got Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. What's that one, John?
A Wilco album.
That's right.
Done.
According to legend, this number station, also known as E10 or E10, was run by Israeli intelligence and originated in Tel Aviv.
Mossad.
They're in broadcasting since the 60s, a little bit older. E10's transmissions were heard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they consist of a woman's voice reading the phonetic alphabet.
Like Yankee Hotel and Foxtrot.
And in 2010, the broadcast became less frequent and finally stopped altogether March 1st of 2011.
And I wasn't kidding. Yes, Wilco fans, the band did name their classic 2001 album after a segment they heard on E10.
So what you're saying is Wilco...
Jeff Tweedy.
Jeff Tweedy's one bad mother.
Yes, yes, he is woke. Do you think Jeff Tweedy listens to this podcast?
You know what? If he doesn't, I'm just going to start listening to Sunvolt. Maybe some Uncle Tupelo out there somewhere. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'm only listening to the Jayhawks from now on.
Rock Chalk. Oh, wait, not the same Jayhawks.
It's not,
not quite the same.
Not at all.
Here's... So here is a little taste of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot.
The number station, not the album. We aren't going to get sued.
Yeah, right.
Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. Message. Group 94. Group 94.
It's one of my favorite ones because it's got the indicator Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, and then it actually says here comes a message, here comes, you know, message,
right,
message,
right.
And then the message starts.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
great.
Like, hey, listen,
it's I love it.
Listen, yes, I mean we could go on. There are literally dozens and dozens of these. They're all creepy. If you want to hear
according
more,
according to CBOT 71,
right? If you want to hear more, best place is the Connet Project on the internet, CONET.
Yeah, it's part of the Internet Archive.
Yeah, yeah. Just Google CONET, Connet Project. You'll find it. And if you want to hear the ones that are live, there's a lot of places you can hear them being broadcast. And who knows, sleuths? Maybe you'll crack a code out there and get killed by the Stasi or something.
Yeah, well, you know,
have some fun. So we've played. We've told a little backstory. We've talked about them. We played them. The hell are they for, John? Why are these out there?
I think that it's obvious. There's only one potential use. Extraterrestrial communication.
I mean, they wouldn't triangulate or bounce off our satellites. They'll use shortwave communications. Yep. I mean, we're getting one now. Yep. That's just coming over our speakers.
So whenever we want to speak to Zeta Reticuli, we actually send them past the ionosphere. We don't bounce them.
Yeah.
And we say hi. We say hi via angry Russian voices.
Yeah. My grandpa's ham radio. Who knew it had so much potential? My grandpa was a ham radio operator. Illegally, he did not have his license, and he had this huge ham radio setup. So that's fun.
What a rebel.
He's like, I'm talking to a ship captain in the Azores. Cool, grandpa. Can I have a popsicle?
He keeps saying SOS, SOS.
Yeah. Like, I wonder why my grandpa was over in there in his room we didn't go into going, Yankee, Foxtrot, Hotel, Lima, Delta, Peru. 794. What's going on? Nothing. I'm smoking. Don't come in here.
He'd come out after 4 days, soot all over his face, hair disheveled. What's going on, Grandpa? Nothing. Nothing at all.
Mind your own business.
If four black sedans show up, ignore them. All right. So yeah, done. And show's over.
It's aliens.
It's aliens.
This actually might be one of the first ones that's not aliens, John.
Yeah. And you don't even actually see people really alleging.
No, they don't even go there with this one. You know who's a big... before we get into the whole government stuff, criminals.
Yeah.
Drug runners, the mob. I mean, it's got so much potential for so many nefarious reasons.
It's a messaging service. Mm-hmm. You can use messaging services however you want. It's like a WhatsApp, you know, the really popular messaging service. It's really popular over in Asia. It is untraceable. The messages disappear. People say they like it for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's also used by a lot of criminals, criminal elements. Essentially what I'm saying is number stations are the WhatsApp of the Cold War.
Well, and then you get into the whole terrorists, you know, if another same thing, you want to be able to coordinate things, you're going to use it that way. And it's a lot easier to hide things when they're, you know, they're in plain sight and not like you're trying to erase your hard drive or this, that, and the other.
Right.
Finally, the big one, the one everyone knows, you know, it's true. We've tried people for this reason, spying.
Spies.
Yeah.
I mean, times have changed. Technology's evolved. We talked about that, but it might still be the best way to communicate if you have agents in the field. Shortwave number stations, they seem low tech, but they probably remain the safest option for transmitting information to spies. A lot of espionage experts still believe that to this day.
Yeah. Nobody has found a more convenient or even expedient way to communicate with agents, says Rupert Allison, an author specializing in espionage issues and writing under the pen name Nigel West.
There's no way.
British name.
You just took it from me. I was about to say, there's no way he's British, is there?
Yeah, I bet he was a lieutenant. Their sole purpose is for intelligence agencies to communicate with their agents in denied areas, an area where it is difficult to use a consensual form of communications, Allison says. And a former GCHQ, British Intelligence Service officer, who does not wish to be named, not that he told us this, but whose duty was to intercept signals towards the UK and search for these number stations in the 80s, is also adamant that they were broadcasting to agents the field or in residencies or directed straight to embassies.
I always thought that was funny that so much espionage activity took place at actual embassies.
Yeah.
Like talk about right under your nose.
So we
you'd think you'd do that in like some sort of abandoned warehouse down, you know, a couple of miles away, not in the actual embassy.
So John and I actually know someone who worked with the NSA, and I'm not going to say what country they were quote unquote spying on, but they worked in a shop across from an embassy that had tracking gear and stuff like that that was intercepting calls and things like that. He said they even had this thing that would intercept like digital pictures and broadcast them back mirror image, and they'd flip them and they could see what was on screens and shit like that. So, yeah, like, they know embassies are doing, yeah, what a great place.
You might have said it best is this guy named Aiken Hernandez. He's actually the founder of the Connet Project we mentioned before that has recordings of all these number stations. He said, this system is completely secure because the messages can't be tracked. The recipient could be anywhere. And it's easy. You just send the spies to a country, get them to buy a radio, and they know when to tune in.
It's completely one way. They're not responding. They're just listening. And it is great. And that's why it's still going on now. There are other ways. There's the deep web, the dark web. You know, you can go to these onion sites and a lot of things. People think that things are tracked through there. But you know what? You can't beat the oldies and the goodies, which is everyone's got a radio. You might not be able to run into your local Radio Shack as much anymore, but every vehicle's got a radio. You can go get an old ham radio outfit. Go to Craigslist and someone's got it. And you're listening no matter where they're at. You know?
And they are trying to do the updated versions of these nowadays. There is a channel on YouTube that you can go look at right now. That's a series of tones and patterns called WebDriver Torso.
Yeah, and it's not only sounds, it's also like color patterns that move across the screen.
Right. And
sounds like you're taking a hearing test.
It does. Yeah. It really does. Allegedly, Google sort of took credit for it and said they put it out there to test technology.
There's also a lot of things that people put out that are actually the government seeing if people can crack it. Then they're like, all right, you want a job?
Right.
And, you know, some people said
Last Starfighter style.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, the cicada and all, you know, crazy shit like that, you know.
There was also A858, which was on Reddit.
Yeah, it's a subreddit, yeah.
And a eventually, some people came out on Reddit and said, oh, yeah, we did that. It was just a puzzle for a private company that we're not going to tell you the name of, which, once again,
like, they said, we cannot disclose the purpose. A858 will end when the purpose is disclosed or discovered.
So that's what they want you to think. But once again, these are kind of cool mysteries that have not been unraveled. Mm-hmm. There's even a podcast that is called Number Station. It's just a British dude's voice reading numbers.
I think the thing is, and we're both agreement on this, it's obviously spies. At least that's what it's been used for until now, when we're getting a little bit more popular and people are using it to, like, you know, have some fun.
Well, I guess the only thing I'm not sure about is nowadays.
That's what I was saying.
Is it still spy? Like, I don't think the U.S. government is still using number stations. I doubt it. And the reason I think is this: we mentioned.
Meanwhile, the guys like.
You idiot. The reason I think is this. I do believe that technology is always a bit more advanced than we realize. You know, we talked about how we had the stealth fighter, you know, years before we knew it. I'm guessing that quantum computing is probably further along than we realize. If the federal government actually, or if the U.S. government actually knows that, then they know that these codes and ciphers are going to be broken fairly soon. So they probably would stop using them.
Yeah, probably.
Lithuania, they're probably still using them.
That's all a lot of ifs. So I don't know. You know,
is this entire podcast.
But the only if it's not ifs, though, like we're saying, they do exist. We know that they were used for nefarious reasons. Are they still? Don't know. But
I think
it's fun to speculate.
I do agree that I think that, like, whether it be drug runners or terrorists, they've picked up where governments have left off. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that not every number station is an official government.
So what are we missing? What's the smoking gun that we're missing? Tell us, Nation. How can they tell us, John?
Get on Facebook, search Hysteria Nation, and join the conversation. If you haven't done it yet, please do. We have a lot of fun in there. We talk about the topics of the week, the topics du jour, but we also talk about a lot of other fun things.
And while you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's our normal page. You can find this and all our other episodes on there. Also on Twitter, @Hysteria51Pod. Look up Hysteria51 Podcast on Instagram. We've been using that a lot lately, popping up a lot of pictures. Pictures of John's kid on there and all of us and our shenanigans. You can also leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277.
And if you forgot any of that, didn't write it down, weren't recording the number station /Hysteria51, just go to our website, hysteria51.com.
All that and more's on there. Don't forget to tell a friend about the show. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.